This is 89.9 WWNL. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for a once-in-a-lifetime art experience, an immersive musical comedy, or a gala ballet celebration. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. This week is last call to see master paintings on exhibit at the New Orleans Museum of Art from the collection of the Duke of Orléans, namesake of the city of New Orleans. The Orléans collection has brought together for the first time a selection of masterpieces from institutions including the National Gallery of London, the J. Paul Getty Museum, and the National Gallery of Scotland to tell the story of the collection's formation, its reputation, and its impact in early 18th century Paris. WWNO's Eileen Fleming met with project director Vanessa Schmidt, NOMA's senior research curator for European art, for a look at works that shouldn't be missed.
We are here at the final days of the Orléans collection with the curator, Vanessa Schmidt.
Hello, Eileen. Lovely to see you again.
And I'd love for you to tell us, because time is so limited now to see the collection, what are the things people really shouldn't miss before this goes?
Should we talk about the things or the show itself?
Let's start with the show itself. Tell me about this show and how you got it all together.
Okay, well, where we are, as you said, the show is called the Orléans Collection, and it is named after the namesake of the city of New Orleans, right? So we are named after a man who was named Philippe II, Duke of Orléans, and we are named after him because in 1718, at the founding of New Orleans, he was ruling France. He was ruling France as regent, actually, as a transitional political figure after the death of Louis XIV. The heir to the throne, when Louis XIV dies in 1715, is a five-year-old boy king, and so Philippe II, who would have been the next heir in line for the throne, rules France. His legacy, in fact, and what he was most well known for in his lifetime was his collection of paintings. He had an absolutely extraordinary collection that he had on view at his palace in Paris, the Palais Royal, which is actually today one of Paris's loveliest public spaces. It's just over from the Louvre. And in that palace, he had, at his death, recorded 537 paintings. The collection was dispersed during the French Revolution. Our story is to celebrate Philippe and his collection, and this is an exhibition that has never been mounted before, and only coming to NOMA. We brought together 38 masterpieces from 25 lending institutions. And so when you ask what is not to be missed, well, I'll say all 38, but let's review just a few quick things as bite-sized pieces to entice everybody back to the galleries before January 27th, when these 38 masterpieces go back to their 25 lending institutions. What beckons you from the great hall of the museum on our title wall is this glorious marble bust of Philippe himself. It's a bust with great panache and style. He is presented in all of his regal fineness, in armor, with these glorious curls and hair, and you're smiling at the look on the face. It's a very commanding bust, wonderful large size, and it's here from Versailles Palace. So, Eileen, when you came into the building, you saw that gracing the front of NOMA in the flags that announce the show is a glorious Venus. She's also on streetcars around the city, and she is really our mascot. She's over life size in the galleries. I mean, she really kind of makes you stop. You actually almost stand away from the picture when you see her because she's so imposing. And this painting is here from Montpellier, France, is an extraordinary loan. Venus is shown with Cupid, and it was done in Renaissance Florence. It was done in Florence in the 1570s by Alessandro Allori, and it reworks a very famous composition by Michelangelo. It has this wonderful state of high finish, bright green colors, and the modeling of her flesh and the nudes is scintillatingly gorgeous. It's really an absolute highlight of the show, and hence she's on the front of the building. another major painting that, in fact, has never been lent and was only rediscovered in 1997, is Eustache Le Sœur. Yes, it's a French name. Le Sœur's, Alexander the Great on his deathbed. Well, actually, on his sickbed. And this gorgeous circular work, very imposing, that is a masterpiece by this French artist. It has the wonderful signature palette of Le Sœur, these purples, bright reds and oranges. And as I mentioned, it was only rediscovered, it was thought lost. It was rediscovered in 1997 and then restored very carefully by the National Gallery of London and has traveled for the first time to come here to New Orleans. So this gem of a room, what we are standing in, is you mentioned the grandness of the exhibition spaces. We designed the spaces to have beautiful views of paintings in the distance. We don't have too many. We have kind of hanging walls. It's really a grand installation. But this portion of the installation is smaller and more intimate. And that's because we have in this section the Dutch and Flemish cabinet room. And at the Palais Royal, the Duke's Palace, he displayed these smaller, diminutive, refined paintings that were made in Amsterdam and Holland in the 1700s. These very refined techniques of these smaller pictures that were displayed in more intimate spaces. The exhibition culminates and ends with one of the most important masterpieces in American collection. The National Gallery of Art in Washington has lent Rembrandt's The Mill. Of course, Rembrandt van Rijn needs no introduction, and we have a Rembrandt in New Orleans. This is unprecedented and so exciting. It's a gorgeous landscape, and the subject is a mill. Please come and just witness the glory of this painting and the exhibition as a whole.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Eileen.
The Orleans Collection closes this weekend. A new immersive musical comedy is the latest entry from the NOLA Project Theater Company, presenting the world premiere of Stockholm Syndrome. The work brings together elements from the company's earlier hit production, Clown Bar, and is billed as a wild ride like no other. Director A.J. Allegra is here with actress Kristen Schaffner. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
You guys have been busy finding more ways to creatively entertain and involve audiences in your productions. Stockholm Syndrome is billed as a musical comedy involving a hostage crisis situation and a love story. Is this an original production?
You bet. With a description like that. What happened was Adam Simkowitz, the writer, who wrote Clown Bar, which we successfully produced in 2015, got together with me and decided that he wanted to write a show specifically for the NOLA Project, for our ensemble. And I said, I would like to write something about America's chain restaurants. And Adam said, well, I would like to write something about the Stockholm Syndrome, the famous psychological condition where a hostage gradually falls in love with their captor. So we thought that we were kind of at an impasse, and Adam said, well, why don't we do both? And so the musical was born, in which a chain restaurant called Jimmy's All-American Beefsteak Place is suddenly taken hostage by this group of radicals that are looking to come face-to-face and finally have their say with Jimmy himself.
Oh, my. So tell us, Kristen, about your role and how the story unfolds.
Sure. I play Lynx, who's the main terrorist, if you will, who takes Jimmy's hostage. I don't want to reveal too much about the plot. There are some good twists and turns in there, but you find out Lynx has some deep-seated history with the restaurant, which causes her to take it over.
Now, how is the audience immersed in this musical comedy?
The term immersive theater, I want to point out to audiences, is definitely different than interactive theater, which I think can scare off a lot of people. Interactive theater is stuff where the audience is going to be spoken to and encouraged to speak back and really become involved in the show, and that can frighten a lot of people, and understandably so, because, you know, we pay to go to the theater to be entertained, not to try and make up our own improvisation. Immersive theater is just theater that happens all around you. And the NOLA Project has a history of working in immersive ways, whether it be at the Sculpture Garden in the Museum of Art, where the plays happen surrounding the audience. You know, we did a show up at the rooftop pool of the Aloft Hotel. So it's something that we specialize in, where we just put the audience in a real-life setting as opposed to creating a fabricated one with a set design, and we let the show happen around the people.
So what's the real-life setting for this work?
We're at the Little Gem Saloon upstairs.
So you're in a restaurant environment?
Yeah, so then Little Gem is transformed into Jimmy's All-American Beefsteak. So there are tables you can sit at. Guests can arrive early to dine. The bar is open. They can drink throughout. So it's as if you're seated at Jimmy's. You're dining as a guest at Jimmy's, and then you're taken hostage with all of the other actors in the show.
And Little Gem is kind of, you know, an elegant venue. You know, it's like a nice jazz New Orleans venue. So we've chin-seated up with, you know, the red and white checkered tablecloths. We've added some wall units to give it that kind of like ugly, kitschy, you know, crazy stuff all over the walls. The waiters have flair. It definitely evokes a late 90s chain restaurant.
Is there something you can share with us from the production?
We can share the title song. The music is all written by Jack Kraft and Skylar Stroop, members of the band Sweet Crude. They've been collaborators with us for many years, and they composed a really hilarious score. And here's a song, the title track called Stockholm Syndrome, in which Brian, the restaurant manager, kind of admits to being in love with his captor for the first time.
You got me wound up like a curly fry. You've got me caught up like a fresh baked apple pie. You got me stressed out like a 20 top at closing time. You microwaved my heart. You 86'd my mind.
Brian, maybe you should lay down.
I can't explain the way you're scrambling my brain today. I should be running, but instead I'm wanting you to stay. I've been working here so long and never asked for more. You're the reason I am seeing bigger things worth fighting for.
Oh, Brian, wait.
I've got the Stockholm Syndrome. Kidnap me, baby, and never let me go. I don't care what you've done or what you do to me. Strap me to a bomb, count us down from three. Let people say you're insane, they don't see what I see. You're the strongest, bravest criminal who's ever captured me. I've got the stuff.
I end up kind of seducing, terrorizing Brian, the restaurant manager. And it's interesting to me because it follows this nice trajectory the same way if anyone's ever worked in a restaurant. You do kind of get a little Stockholm syndromed out on, like, having this job you've got to go to, the big corporation that takes you over. So to watch that kind of arc with Brian's character, where in the beginning he's, like, wedded to his job at this restaurant, and then by the end he's willing to, you know, go there with Lynx, is really a fun thing to play with. I get to play with a lot of ups and downs. You find out Lynx is a little unstable. You know, she's leading this terrorist organization in order to get attention, and there's just so much fun and variety to be had with taking people hostage, especially the guests. That's where it's really been fun, is having the audience come in and this actor-audience relationship you get when there's no fourth wall. It's like, I have a baseball bat. I've got a gun. Who knows what's going to happen?
Tell us about the other cast members.
It's a 12-person cast. So the other people that play the staff members at Jimmy are Keith Clavery, Julie Dietz, April Louise, and Kathleen Moore, and Bill Mader. And then the other people that take the restaurant hostage with Kristen, Alec Barnes and Leslie Clavery. We have Michael Pep, Mark Ruthier, Rebecca Hollingsworth, and Michael Krikorian. And they play various people that come in and out of the restaurant. So, again, we don't want to reveal too much because there is a lot of plot turns in this thing. But right. It's very fun. To me, Stockholm Syndrome feels like a cult classic National Lampoon's comedy as a musical.
Yeah.
And that very much is what we were going for. It's a workplace comedy. And I think of movies like Office Space or Waiting or Wet Hot American Summer or Adventureland, you know, where it's about these groups of employees that have such a love-hate relationship with their place of work.
Right.
But they're bonded by the love-hate relationship that they have with it. And so this feels very much like it fits in that vein, but as a musical. And I'm very proud that we were able to create what I think could be kind of an instant cult classic.
NOLA Project Director A.J. Allegra and actress Kristen Schaffner, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Nothing bad can ever happen at Jimmy's Beefsteak Place. Nothing bad can ever happen at Jimmy's Beefsteak Place. When you're here, you're always home. When you're here, you're never alone. Nothing bad can ever happen at Jimmy's Beefsteak Place.
The NOLA Project Theater Company presents Stockholm Syndrome, with performances running through February 2nd upstairs at the Little Gem Saloon, 445 South Rampart Street. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The New Orleans Ballet Association continues to bring dance to life, now gearing up for a celebrity-studded 50th anniversary Evening of Stars performance. NOBA's Executive Director Jenny Hamilton joins us by phone. Hello, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, doing great. This is a big anniversary. Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. 50 years is quite a long time.
Tell us, when did you take helm of the organization?
Well, actually, I became an intern in 1990 when the organization was still the New Orleans City Ballet, a partnership with Cincinnati Ballet, and I was John Tavison's intern when I moved down to New Orleans to get my master's degree in arts administration from the University of New Orleans, and then became director of marketing in 1993, and then executive director in 1998. My tenure is almost 30 years with the organization.
Tell us about some of the highlights under your leadership. What are you most proud of?
That we've been able to continue the legacy and the vision that this organization had in the early 1990s when an amazing board of directors led by Phyllis Taylor and John Tavison, executive director, created an organization that brought the very best of dance from around the world and dance in all of its glorious forms to the city of New Orleans, and as well as in 1992 created this partnership with the New Orleans Recreation Department that now 27 years later has served over 22,000 participants with more than 55,000 tuition-free dance classes. We're just so proud to be able to continue to serve this community in such an extensive fashion and with a comprehensive program.
You have a lot to be proud of. Tell us, how will you celebrate the big 5-0?
Well, we're going to kick the whole 5-0 in 2019, this month, off with a fabulous performance featuring guest performers from companies such as San Francisco Ballet and Pacific Northwest Ballet, Pennsylvania Ballet, international guest artists who were formerly with National Ballet of Cuba, and also U.S. National Ballroom Champions. And we're going to kick the evening off this coming Saturday, January 26th, with all these fabulous performers coming in to help us celebrate with an evening of works that range from White Swan and Black Swan and Don Q. Pas de Deux to very contemporary work by wonderful choreographers representing the best of today, and also beautiful ballroom dancing. We're just so fortunate. One artist who will be with us is going to be Wan Wan Tan, and Wan Wan, of course, is considered by many to be the greatest Chinese ballerina of all time. She, at 19 years old, she became a principal artist with San Francisco Ballet, the youngest ever with that company, and she's actually an artist that we have wanted for many years to bring to the city, and finally we're able to get her here, and this will be her debut on our stage as part of, in New Orleans, will be her debut in New Orleans, so we're so proud and honored to have her. But it's going to be a very exciting evening of just some of the best of dance, both classical, contemporary, as well as ballroom. So I think the audience can expect an action-packed evening of exceptional pyrotechnical dancing that just displays the best of what we have today. Our students will be part of the evening. We're so proud and honored to actually welcome home this weekend Laura Gilbreth Tisserand, and she is married to Jerome. They're both principal dancers with Pacific Northwest Ballet, and Laura is actually from Hammond, Louisiana. She trained with the incomparable Joseph Giacobbe and the entire team at Giacobbe and Delta Festival Ballet, whom we have the highest respect for. So we're so happy and so honored that they could be part of this program and celebrate with us. As well as we're going to honor three individuals, lifetime board members, who really have been instrumental and critical to this organization's success. And those are the Center for Dance founders, G. Tucker and Jackie Clarkson, and Dr. Bernard Jaffe, who was actually president and chair of the board of directors in 1997 and 98 during the transition time between John Tavison and myself, who has really helped keep that vision alive all these years.
And I hear, Jenny, that there's even more after this fabulous performance.
There is. We're very fortunate that the governor and the first lady are the honorary chairs for this evening and for this event. RAVO, our Ballet Resource and Volunteer Organization, is holding a dinner on the stage of the Theater of Performing Arts. So in about 30 minutes, we're going to flip the stage following the performance from a performance space to a dinner space. Hyatt Regency General Manager Michael Smith and the Hyatt Regency are donating dinner to us, and they're going to host dinner for about 250 people on the stage of the Theater Performing Arts. Julio and Cesar are providing the music, and that is going to be our major fundraiser for the year. So we will have dinner with the stars on the stage following the performance Saturday night.
Now, is that something that might be open to the public, to the audience?
Yes, it is. Of course, tickets are available just for the performance. And if you're interested in coming and attending both the performance and the dinner on the stage with the artist, you can still purchase those tickets through the Valley Association office until Thursday of this week. And, of course, tickets for the performance will be on sale through Saturday.
What do you see for the future of the New Orleans Ballet Association?
We look forward to continuing to provide phenomenal dance of the highest quality on the stage of the Theater Performing Arts, and in partnership with NOCA and Tulane University and Dillard and all the many institutions in the city that we partner with, as well as to continue to build these extensive and comprehensive education and service programs in the community, including classes for early childhood up to our training programs, pre-professional, our senior dance fitness program, and of course the brand new program, Dance for Parkinson's, that we started last year in partnership with the JCC. We know that dance is such a powerful art form to entertain, to move us, and also to heal us. And so I think programs that continue to provide healing services to the community will expand as well. So we look forward to another 50 years of bringing dance to life in this community.
New Orleans Ballet Association Executive Director Jenny Hamilton, best wishes for continued success.
Thank you so much.
The New Orleans Ballet Association kicks off its golden anniversary year with an evening of stars, Saturday, January 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.